Sure. Okay. Yeah, we'll start. I know Trustee Gillis has said she's on her way. She's on the green light. So, all righty. Well, welcome to our village, special village board meeting. And the reason why it's special is because we go into a modified schedule during the summer. So in June, July, August, we only meet once a month. And so the trustees and I determine what day that's best, way back when, like 8 months ago. So that because it's not a scheduled meeting every other Monday, it's called the special one. So that's why it's special. It's just because it's one day a month in the summer months. Okay, so welcome, and I'm glad you're here. I'll ask our deputy clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Johnson.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Bachner.
Here.
Trustee O'Connell. Here. Trustee Gillis. President Ducci.
I am here. Okay, if I can ask you all to please stand to say the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. All right. It looks like all the speakers are on for item 7A, so we'll get there momentarily. So unless anyone wants to speak right now, I'll wait until that item comes up, and I'll ask each of the speakers to come to the podium and hopefully spend no more than 5 minutes telling us, speaking to us. Okay, so with that, I will ask the elected officials for comments and announcements. If we can maybe start with Trustee O'Connell.
Thank you. Couple things. Number one, since we haven't met since Memorial Day, I want to congratulate the staff, the Kiwanis Club, and the Park District for a great, great morning. Really highlighted our village. I know personally I had people from other towns come to visit, and they thought the parade was great. So congratulations to everyone who was organizing and participated. Secondly, it's that time of the year, vehicle stickers. The date is July 14th. So please make sure if you house a car in River Forest, doesn't matter where it's registered, but if you house it here, please make sure you get a vehicle sticker. And I will let our village president explain what exactly her little adventure was over the past couple of weeks. But I want to congratulate her and her friend Ed on finishing sixth
in the world
in this competition called the High Rocks competition.
Yeah, it's not even worth talking about.
I was exhausted watching it on TV.
Yeah, I'm exhausted.
On YouTube. So, but congratulations to you and Ed. So that was a lot of fun watching you watching the competition. Other than that, that's what I got.
Thanks, Bob.
All right. Thank you. I would also just like to extend, because it's been a while, congratulatory comments to two things. One, the Pride Fair and the staff and everyone, and Ms. Bachner, everyone who pulled it together. And then also my second one is one that happened today, which was the Juneteenth flag raising ceremony. I thought that was also done well. And I'd like to congratulate the staff as well as Trustee Brennan, specifically, for putting it all together and working so hard on it. Other than that, I have no other comments.
Okay, great. Thank you, Trustee Johnson.
Katie? Thank you, Ken. Well, we're sort of coming off of a high from that event today. Although it was very hot, we had wonderful attendance, and the participation was fabulous. It's our third Juneteenth flag raising in the village, a partnership between the village and the public library, held at the public library. And every year it's a little bit different. This year we had students participating from Grace Lutheran, OPRF, a Fenwick grad. Langston's a Fenwick grad?
He's OPRF.
OPRF, okay. Lots of heavy OPRF. A couple Dominican representatives. This year we had music. Someone played the guitar and sang the Black National Anthem. It was just beautiful. And so I want to thank everyone who participated and who, including Kathy, who participated, and Chief Gartner and his team who helped raise the flag with the team of our very own Girl Scouts from River Forest. It was a lovely collaboration. And in particular, I want to thank Matt and Trish for their help in planning it. There was a lot that went into it. And I think I saw Dr. Bradford Hill sneak in at the very back of the room. She gave the most beautiful and educational and inspirational presentation, sort of the highlight of the event. So coming off of that high, and I will say that my heart is full from that event, and I look forward to next year being our fourth annual. And one other piece of that is that we did have the Traveling Juneteenth Museum at that. And the Traveling Juneteenth Museum does appear at other public events where you can go and tour it. The next public event is going to be Wednesday at Westchester, where they are having their Juneteenth flag raising. So it goes to private events and public events. And if you haven't had the chance to experience the museum and the education that it offers, I recommend it. Thank you.
Thanks, Katie. All right, Chris.
Okay, sure. Let me start off with giving a belated happy Father's Day to all our dads and father figures from yesterday. And then I also want to mention that the village is conducting the lead pipe survey. We're trying to identify all the lead water service lines in River Forest, and we'll need all everyone's help in terms of identifying and filling out the survey individually for your place of residence. The last thing I want to talk about is, you may recall, I was the one who mentioned, too, about the elimination of this grocery tax from the state. The update with that is that they did listen to the municipalities, and they did modify that law so that the municipalities now can also adopt a tax locally with a simple ordinance. And also, if the villages or municipalities do, it will not be subject to any state administrative fees,
yep,
which is a great help for the municipality. So congratulations to, I know, Kathy, you were participatory with IML and all of the other organizations for the municipality. So thank you for that. So other than that, that's it. Thank you.
Thanks, Russ. Erica?
Yes. I'd like to begin with a land acknowledgement. As we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on lands that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. A belated happy Father's Day to everyone as well. And I did want to, again, highlight the D90 Pride and Inclusion Walk and the flag raising here at Village Hall. It was a wonderful event. We had several hundred people here and wonderful organizations supporting the day. We had OWL out here, Oak Park Library, Spoke Cafe, Ice Baby over on North Avenue, Ice Cream. We had Opelika Plus here, and a big thanks from to the Village Township and John Beckvar in particular, our newest supervisor with the Village Township. Want to thank the staff here at Village Hall for everything they did to prepare the fire department and the police department. It was all just really wonderful. Thank you for keeping us safe and having it be a really good time this year. We, in fact, got on the NBC 10 o'clock news, which was kind of cool. We had our 30 seconds of fame. So looking to do it again next year. And I know how much the community really enjoys it. I know that people have actually moved to River Forest because they have seen the inclusion that we have here and want to be a part of that. So I was sorry to miss the Juneteenth event due to work, but I know it was a fabulous event as always. Thank you, Sheila, for everything that you do. Thank you, Katie, for everything that you do. And Ken.
Yeah.
And for Pride, the Pride Walk, I should also thank Megan Cascatallo, who it would not happen if not for her. Also, one more thing, as we start to get into summer and we're getting a couple of really hot days out in the next couple of days, make sure to check in on your loved ones, those who are older, your pets, make sure everyone has enough water and are, if they need cooling stations. I believe River Forest Library is a cooling facility for us here in the village.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Hi, Lisa. I'll speak and then let you, speak last. So, I want to just reiterate, thank you, Erica, for your work on the June 3rd, flag raising. And, I don't know how you did it, but it was kind of cool that you were on NBC 5 channel 10. I mean, it's 10 o'clock news. So congratulations. That was awesome. It's always nice to hear, the folks in River Forest. So it's really cool. I want to, personally say thank you, Katie and Ken and, Dr. Hill. You're right. I left with my heart so full. And I just want to thank all of you for pushing us, educating us, inspiring us, year after year to do this, flag raising. It gets better and better and better and more involved. So, again, thank you on behalf of all, at least myself, and I know all the staff very much appreciated your involvement, Katie, Dr. Hill, and Ken. So thanks. Yes, and as Rez said, there was a lot of activity at the end of May as this legislature in Springfield was finishing up their budget. There's good news, bad news. There always is for the budget, but I think there's more good news, bad. You talked about the 1% grocery tax. I think we kind of came out of that fine. We also have some really great representatives that represent us here in River Forest. And we happen to have two leadership, three actually, with Kimberly Lightfoot as our senator. Of course, Speaker Welch is our state representative, and President of the Senate, Senator Harmon, is one of our senators. So, and Representative Camille Lilly is the other one. So we have four representatives that represent River Forest. I know we're small and we have four, but the good news is there are four very important representatives. And I think we came out fairly good in the infrastructure capital side, where they provided us some good money to do some work for within our capital and our infrastructure. So for that, I'm very thankful. That's all I have to report from my end. I'll let Lisa, welcome Lisa. She joined.
Do I have to be?
Yes. I think just saying what time you can.
Trustee Gillis arrived at 7:12 p.m.
Thank you. The green line was really not kind to today.
That's all right.
In any event, I just want to, reiterate what a big part of what makes River Forest River Forest is our elementary and middle schools. And Kathy and I were at the 100th anniversary celebration, which was truly a walk down memory lane for those of us who recently had kids there. And I can't imagine what it was like for all the older folks who went there themselves, at the start and that kind of thing. So here's to the next 100 years of great schools in our town. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Lisa. Yeah, that was pretty cool to see these pictures 100 years ago. Okay. So that concludes the elected officials' comments and announcements, and then we'll move on to the consent agenda. If I can get a motion to approve the consent agenda items A through H.
Motion to approve consent agenda items A through H.
Second.
Okay. Any comments, questions regarding those items? Hearing none, I'd ask our deputy to please read each item and then ask for the vote.
Item A, Village Board of Trustees meeting minutes, May 13th, 2024. Item B, Village Board of Trustees executive session meeting minutes, May 13th, 2024. Item C, May 2024, accounts payable and payroll, $2,183,542.78. Item D, administration department report. Item E, monthly department reports. Item F, financial report, May 2024. Item G, purchase approval, CDS Office Technologies, mobile dispatch terminals, $71,788.65. Item H, award of contract, fiscal year 2025, tree and stump removal program, Homer Tree Care, $41,650.
Okay.
Oh, just to correct, the actual amount for the accounts payable and payroll should be $2,539,919.71 rather than the $2,183,742.78.
Can you just repeat that number, please?
Yes, the actual number.
Lance, put your mic on. Sorry, thanks.
There we go.
Sorry about that. I usually don't speak that. The actual number is $2,539,919.71. So with that correction, the motion can move forward.
Okay. Do we have to get an okay by anybody that moved?
Moved it.
You're okay.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
And Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. At this time, I will ask for citizens' comments on item 7 before we move it and discuss it as a board. So I will start out with Dan Lauber is on Zoom. Dan, are you there? Oh.
Yes, I am.
All right. Welcome.
Let me get the video back, too. Okay. I just wanted to suggest offer a couple comments on the substance and then offer what I hope would be a solution that would enable us to move forward. First, I strongly encourage the board to reject the reduction in the minimum off-street parking. It's totally improper and irrational. It's something only a developer would want. We know the problems that it will cause because with the example of the very nice condos across the street from us, they were built somewhere shortly after World War II when motor vehicles were not as ubiquitous as they are today, and the village did not require the amount of off-street parking that was needed to meet the demand that existed 70 years later. And there's no reason to imagine why anybody would have ever had that kind of foresight. But we do know now that parking is generated based on the number of bedrooms in dwelling units. And I got to tell you, in 50 years as a city planner, I have never come upon a town that has adopted something as imprudent as has been proposed for River Forest. I would, however, encourage you, whether you do it in this ordinance or in another ordinance, to eliminate the 2,800 square foot per dwelling unit requirement of land area. That is classic illegal exclusionary zoning. I've done a monograph on exclusionary zoning. I've written on it extensively, and this is a classic. There is no justifiable basis for 2,800 square feet of lot area per dwelling unit. 1,000 feet is quite reasonable. And I'd like to get something clear here. There was an example given where it was suggested that if this change was made, a developer could build 43 units on a parcel that, under the current zoning exclusionary provision, could build relatively few units. But no developer is going to be building 43 units on such a parcel because land has to be devoted to common areas, to off-street parking. And, adopting this certainly would not lead to that large an increase in the amount of housing that could be built. Also, I would like to suggest that no matter what the maximum height is allowed in the C1, C2, and 3 districts, whether it's the existing height or what's proposed, zoning ordinance should be amended to mandate step-down heights, where the maximum height of the building is along the street and the minimum height is adjacent to the adjacent, is required adjacent to a, the adjacent single-family district, preferably no more than the equivalent of a two-story house. Finally, I'm tired of the River Forest way of dealing with zoning, and I think it's important that we recognize that there is a need for economic development. The zoning ordinance needs amendments to bring it into the 20th century, much less the 21st century, to facilitate reasonable, neighborhood-friendly economic development. And I'd like to suggest that you consider in the very near future establishing an independent committee made up of residents in the single family districts adjacent to the C1, C2, and C3 districts. Some of the city planners who live in River Forest, I know of at least three of us that live here, not counting the village's consultant, to work together and maybe bring in someone from the Economic Development Commission. But to work together to find a way to devise zoning that will facilitate economic development while being sensitive to the livability concerns of the neighbors to these districts. I'm happy to work with staff to prepare such a proposal. And I think that this would give us an opportunity, possibly working with a new outside consultant who has the trust of the public, to develop something, zoning amendments that, again, would be sensitive to the needs of and interests of the people in the neighboring single-family district, but also facilitate economic development for the village that would be in keeping with the overall goals of the comprehensive plan and help the village move forward. I would like to emphasize that this needs to be independent, and the public needs to have trust in it. So to do so, it's really critical that it be independent. This should not be assigned to the Plan Commission. This should not be assigned to the Zoning Board of Appeals. It should be assigned to people who live in the districts that are adjacent to the commercial districts. And for gosh sakes, use the talents of the professional planners who live in River Forest, like many other communities do, so that we can come up with a possibly very innovative approach that could keep everybody happy. Thanks very much for hearing me. If you've got any questions, I'll be happy to answer them and see if I can further confuse and confound you.
Okay, thank you, Dan. Okay, we'll move on to other, I just want to remind the public speakers, if you could stay within the 5 minutes, it helps then to move the program along a little bit. So we don't have many speakers, which is good. So I got Marianne Say. Marianne, you're up next.
Good evening. My name is Marianne Say. I am now a 24-year resident of River Forest and a registered architect. So I understand the Economic Development Commission worked with a consultant and held public meetings to develop these proposed changes. I was unable to attend the ZBA hearings on the proposal and would like to express some thoughts on the matter. I am generally not in favor of the zoning amendments as proposed, although I'm not fully aligned with the petitions that have been circulated against it. So I did not sign the petition. Regarding the height and density increases proposed, when I look at the commercial districts along Madison Avenue, I see absolutely no buffer between those wonderful small family homes and Madison Street. And I think putting up a giant building on their south-facing lawns that's going to cast a large shadow on their neighborhood is a very bad idea. I think there needs to be more transition there. In other parts of the village, for instance, along North Avenue, I see there already is kind of a buffer zone of multifamily and multi-use, and increasing the height there might not be as detrimental, especially given that it is on the north side of the homes, and so you won't have the sun and the shade in everyone's backyards. Regarding the parking, I know that the modern family is has about one car per driver. my family is a little bit strange. We have one car. We have had one car for 28 years. And we moved here because, in part, because we saw this area as a very transit-friendly area. And if the village believes, as I believe, that this is a transit-friendly area and wants to promote that with the development that is put in here, I have no problem with reducing the parking requirements for multifamily and multi-use construction. Regarding the studio apartments, so I see River Forest as a stable family community. Studio apartments to me say transitory, like somebody who lives here for a short period of time, maybe while they're in school, maybe while they're just getting set up on their first job. It doesn't say, you know, single mom with kids. It doesn't say single dad with kids. And I think that it would be better for us to like kind of have a minimum standard and say River Forest is a stable family community. You have to have a bedroom if you want to call this an apartment. And in closing, I noticed that developers still need to go through the plan development process. So what is it to incentivize them to stick only to the increased limits that are proposed here? I expect they will just keep asking for more. Will we bend over and give that to them? I don't think we should. Thank you.
Thank you, Marion. All right. We've got Kelly and Greg. Do you guys want to both come up to the podium or individually? Okay.
So I want to talk about the schools. And Trustee Vasquez, I want to double down on your comments about that. I want to be proud of the public school systems that I'd like to be able to send my children to. I just had a child graduate and didn't have the luxury to send her in because of transitioning from another neighborhood and already being in a private school system and trying to be less disruptive to her. But I'm very much looking forward to sending my youngest, who is already in the public school system since the minute we moved in. I live at 1226 William Street. I moved in July of 2021, but my father-in-law has been a resident of this village probably collectively as long as everyone else here. And he's very proud of the community because he immigrated from Tehran. When I look at our school systems, we were 33rd in Illinois in 2015, according to the U.S. reports, 743 as a national rank. Now in 2023, we are at 34th in Illinois. We celebrated climbing up five spots last year from 39. I don't call that a celebration. I call that we're going the wrong direction. We should be going higher, not lower. We also rank 907th in a national rank, way, way down from the 743rd national rank that we celebrated in 2015. I can't emphasize enough that school funding is a key to a successful school system and helping to achieve a high-ranking school district for our children. I came from a small village that I watched did not get the proper funding, but expanded way beyond their means, did not have the commercial and or tax basis to support the school system. And I watched a school system go from the top down to a very low rank and had all kinds of problems and challenges in the school systems as a result. And many people fled the village as a result. It did become a city. I guess it got that award and everyone went to that celebration. That wasn't as landlocked as we are here in River Forest. We had a lot of farms, so we had a lot of land to build on. But I can't emphasize enough that you have to look at data to ensure you know exactly any impact a zoning change is going to have on a school district. Knowing that, I don't know, Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like 73% of our taxes go to the school district. So every dollar matters and counts. So I want to restate my concerns to all of the trustees, the reason I continue to speak out against the zoning changes. And it really comes down to, I've not seen any real data that shows me that this is going to be tax beneficial to the school system as a whole. First, I want to acknowledge that our village has done an amazing job getting a real demographer to run a real report. If you have not read it, it's pretty thick. I'm happy to do a class on it, because if you're not a researcher or a data person yourself, which is what I do for a living, it is very dense. But it is so impressive, the work that was done and paid for by this village by a real demographer who did an outstanding job helping us understand the demographic changes of our community. So I just wanted to acknowledge that's where a lot of my findings are coming from. To that point, the central concern persists. If zoning regulations remain changed to the new zoning changes that are being proposed here, there is a lot of implications we need to think about in terms of district enrollment. If you actually read the demographer report, it is made clear that district enrollment may see a slight decline, and this is barring zero zoning changes are made to our community, at around 1,300 students over the next 8 years. This is in contrast to any report that has come out that the demographer did not anticipate a decrease in enrollment. Instead, they underscored that stability would be maintained. Furthermore, the report assumes no notable changes in population or household growth stemming from any zoning adjustments. Well, I think we all know that zoning adjustments not only bring population and density change, they bring household growth. If we look at Oak Park, recent tax increases in Oak Park, primarily attributed to heightened school funding, mirror the strain anticipated in River Forest due to the proposed zoning changes. Additionally, the decline in traditional storefront businesses exacerbates the situation, with online competition like Amazon and many other big box retailers leaving many of our storefronts vacant in River Forest and our small business owners struggling to survive, imposing tax burdens and diminishing community appeal. Despite the potential impact of high-rise developments on public services and infrastructure, River Forest has yet to properly conduct assessments, revealing a significant planning gap in any proposed zoning changes that have been brought forward to date. Finally, the demographer themselves underscores that the report has a massive oversight in accounting for potential changes in household sizes, population densities, and zoning regulations because no changes were provided to the demographer at the time of running the report. This only underscores the necessity for conducting a what-if scenario assessment before implementing any type of zoning changes or rezoning or whatever word you'd like to call these text amendments that could impact these variables. The great news is we have a model. We can plug in the numbers into this wonderful school model that we have to understand the true impact on infrastructure, on school enrollment, on taxes. And so I highly encourage you guys to once again possibly get a committee of data experts in our community, bring back that demographer, and let's get a report that helps us understand how the future of any zoning changes can help grow and benefit our school system and district. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly.
Greg?
Hi, I'm Greg Epkarian, her husband. My family's been in River Forest since 1973. I haven't changed my life. The address on my driver's license ever. So it still has my parents' address on it, which is 1430 Lathrop. I can't beat her data. That's what she does for a living. I'm just here. Hopefully all of you watched the meeting that was with the VBA. I'm hoping you didn't read the minutes, because as we have brought up to every meeting, your minutes are whoever transcribes them just writes whatever they want to write down. It's never what we actually say. Half the time, it's actually the opposite of what we say. So it's spun the wrong way. So hopefully you listen to it. And as I said to the VBA board, and I'll say to you, you're here because of all of us. We have put, especially you guys, the VBA board is all, you know, volunteer. We actually elected most of you. I mean, Matt Walsh and the attorney and yourself, we didn't elect, but we elected the rest of you. We did that because we entrust you, but also because we think you have our values in mind. If you went to that last meeting and you saw how many people in this town were against what you're planning, and the whole time we've been against it, and we've asked for you guys to, hey, maybe make a little adjustment, and you never wanted to. You wanted to steamroll it down our throats and have whatever you wanted. The village doesn't want that. You're going to vote whatever way you want tonight, and that is fine. But I am telling you, the village doesn't want it, and you're here representing us, not what you want, not how you think the village should be, none of that. You're here to represent what we want. We elected you because we entrust you with how we want the village, and we think you will best put forward to do it. So this is on you, but you know what the village wants, and it does not want this. So thank you for your time, and I also know that, you know, you probably get a lot of grief either way on this, so I'm sorry about that, but again, the village does not want this. So thank you again.
Thanks, Greg. Okay. Is there anybody else? That concludes what's written on who signed up, but I'm certainly willing to open up to anybody that has not signed it. Okay, Margie.
Thank you for the opportunity. I just want to be very brief and to ask all of the board to please vote in alignment with the ZBA and reject the proposed text zoning changes. And as hopefully everyone in the room knows, but I can never state it enough, the ZBA found that these proposed changes are not in the best interest of the village, its residents, or its property owners. Those in the TIF districts on North Avenue and Madison Street, those increases in taxes are held till 2040 and won't be released, except by exclusionary authority, till 2041. So it's not like there's all this benefit coming from those TIF districts' development. And that's primarily why so many people are up in arms about the Madison Street changes, the changes at Hawthorne and Ashland and Hawthorne and Lathrop and 400 block of Thatcher, and even all along Forest, the east side of Forest and 0 and 100 blocks. So again, I ask you to vote with the ZBA, your hand-selected representatives for the community, your experts in zoning. Thank you.
Thank you, Margie.
Margie, all right. Seconder.
Yes, thank you. Okay.
No.
Concludes our comments toward this item. So I will ask the board if we've got a motion. Need a motion on the table. Yep.
Sure. I move to accept the recommendation of the Zoning Board of Appeals regarding the proposed text amendments to C1, C2, C3, and ORIC districts.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. Very good. All right. I'm going to it's now our turn to kind of speak, but I will open it up. And then I will let other trustees speak. I'm in agreement with the ZBA recommendations. I think they did a very good job of listening. I think everyone, I think the Plan Commission did a great job of listening to the public by creating our comprehensive plan. I think our Economic Development Commission
did a very great job of looking at economic development as it relates to our community. And I think the Zoning Board of Appeals did a very good job of listening to our public as the zoning codes, what they mean to our community. So on behalf of the board and myself, I want to say thank you to our volunteers for spending a lot of time and energy around this issue. But it needed to be discussed. So for that, I'm very thankful. I think Chairman Martin and the other commissioners did a very nice job of writing up a findings of fact. And in there, there's a lot of good statements that Chairman Martin and the commission made, and such as like the proposed amendments were too extensive and had too great of an impact on the village character. Although many members expressed support for the elements of the proposed changes. So I think that goes along with many of what the commissioner said, and that is we like it, but not in whole, and we need to take it, by individual development. And that, again, says members felt the plan development process protected village by allowing approval of individual variances after public hearings, comments, and negotiations with the developer. And that is true. So as Chairman Martin mentioned, both the Development Review Board, which is a combination of plan and zoning, will look at individual developments through this process. So there's already an established process that we use for for decades that works very well for our community. And we will rely on the plan development process and the Development Review Board, which is the combination of plan and zoning. So again, it says we'll emphasize that while they could not recommend the current proposal, they were not opposed to economic development and saw a need for some of the changes. And I think many of you already mentioned that. So I think they did a very thorough job of listening and hearing, and I support their recommendations by rejecting the zoning changes. But my last other comment I just want to say, and I think we've said it in the community, is the whole conversation and discussion started out through the plan commission with the comprehensive plan. And in it, it said explore and discuss. And I think the board and myself, that's what we were out to do, is to explore and discuss. And it took us many years. It started in 2017 and ended in 2024. And even though it ended with a no recommendation, that's okay. That's fine. That was our desire, is to explore and discuss. And with that, that's my point of view, and I would like to open it up to the other trustees.
Oh, okay. I guess I'll say something. I think you summarized it quite well, Kathy, but I do want to also thank the residents, because I know I did listen to the ZBA hearing. I didn't read just the minutes. I sat through the audios and the visuals to listen to that. So thank you. It was a great recommendation for that. And I was able to see what people were saying. Our intent, again, was to have a discussion about this as it was recommended back. Our intent was also trying to bring revenue into the village outside of the residents, because we kept hearing about, hey, arrests, you keep adding more taxes to the residents. Isn't something you can do to pass the taxes more on the commercial side? Because we do, or at least municipalities can tax 25% of the commercial area versus 10% of the residents, which means if we rely solely on the residents, that means we're going to be taxing more on the residents, and we don't want to do that. We pursued this. We pursued this with good faith, try to hear a discussion, try to explore with you, but obviously we did hear you. We heard you. Even though I didn't participate personally going into the zoning board meetings, because I, as the trustee, don't want to be the one influencing those hearings. And I'm sure my fellow colleagues and trustees do the same. So we're not there because it's not because we don't care. We do. We just want the zoning board, who is the legal entity at that time, to listen to the people and to consider this on a objective manner. So I'm glad they did that. I'm glad I read their comments on the findings, and I love that paragraph, right, whereas after the close of the public comment, I think they summarized and balanced what the comments they heard from the residents that attended there. They also talked about the planning development process, as like what Kathy mentioned, as well as our need for economic development and to pursue that. So they still encourage us to do that. They just said, why don't you just, as I read it, why don't you just use the current mechanisms you have? And if everyone is fine with that, and it appears, I should say a good majority of you are, I'm fine with it too. I mean, again, we're not here to try to make your lives impossible. We're here to try to hear from everybody. And so from my perspective, I think I have heard from all of you and in favor of supporting the zoning board's decision. I'm not sure what my other colleagues say. They can join in, but that's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. So I agree with both of your comments. I don't know how many years ago it was that I joined the Economic Development Commission, and we started working on projects. We recently announced that Whole Foods is expanding. We worked on that project for about 4 years. So again, something that's they're going to expand their space, that's going to generate more sales tax for the village, which is going to get fed into the schools. We're a landlocked community. We have large parcels of land that we don't even collect taxes on in this community. And so, so there are good reasons they participate with us. So we have to look for ways to lessen the tax burden on our residents. As was stated, this was to explore and discuss. This is a conversation that's been going on for 3 or 4 years. And so this is not something that we decided overnight. We listened, like Rez. I sat at home with my computer on and I watched. I didn't want to go to the meeting. I didn't want anybody to say I was there for, to push an agenda. We listened and we've got more work to do. I like Dan's suggestion of maybe there's other people that we can bring into the conversation. So I would welcome that. But otherwise, I think, I think the board did a great job. The residents spoke their mind. We're listening and we'll go from there. We'll continue to move forward.
Thanks.
I was just going to say, at the risk of reiterating what everyone said, we are here to serve the community. And in doing that, it takes sometimes a vigorous discussion on different issues. And so that's what we had on this. We've had several other ones. At the end, I think if you stand back, you'll find that, our duty is to listen to the community and sometimes appoint individuals to help gather information so that we are able to have enough information to make sound decisions. And so I think that's what happened here. And I'm excited that we always have these vigorous discussions. And I appreciate all your participation, because I don't think it's my opinion. I think it's your opinion that counts. And so, I will always stand by that.
So I attended a bunch of the meetings. I sat in the back. I didn't wear a wig. But I did purposefully, I wanted to be there in person, partially because I think something's lost when we, definitely with the minutes, but when we try to listen to it, sometimes we don't have our microphones on. You can't tell who's saying what. Mm-hmm. So I went and got a lot of firsthand impressions that were helpful to me. An overwhelming impression I have is that it was the residents mostly on the south end of this village who put in so much time and effort, so much work, that time that they took away from their jobs and their families, and so much frustration that they had. It was palpable for not months, years. They've gone through this. And so I will say, sitting here tonight, I'm really surprised to hear what my fellow trustees have just said. I thought it was, I didn't think that was what I was going to hear from you, because the last thing I heard was at the ZBA meeting at Concordia was the village representative making the case for the other side. So I've got whiplash right now. My job is a little easier tonight because of what my fellow trustees have just said. I'm glad about it, but were I one of the residents on the south end of town, I'd be like, oh my God, I just, you know, spent, you know, weeks or months of my life. And all of a sudden, you know, you're telling me, okay, it's okay. We're you're fine. So it's very surprising, but it is what it is. And I want to talk about next steps. I don't want us to just let, you know, say, okay, this is it. And then we leave. I take seriously what some of the residents have said about the lack of trust in the village's current consultant. I listened to what Dan Lauber said with his suggestions, not only about the village consultant, but about, you know, some independent review. I think that we need to address those things now rather than let them languish like some things do and then not be addressed. And I would propose that we do move to select a new consultant, a new village planner.
Thank you.
I want to echo Trustee Brennan's comments. Those residents on the south side of River Forest did work really hard. When Dan Lauber talks about having an independent group of people, they were speaking to our representatives and John Halsiel for a very long time. And the considerations that they brought up over and over again were obviously not in this packet tonight. I find myself with John Halsiel and our process here wondering why we didn't have something more sophisticated as zoning. When I look at other towns that look a little bit like us, Lake Forest, Winnetka, Elmhurst, Highland Park, this zoning is very sophisticated and takes into account the separate neighborhoods. It talks about things like Dan is talking about in having a, not a setback, but having at a certain height, the building backed up, whether that's from the front or the back. I don't understand how we didn't get to a point where that was a part of this packet tonight. We've had plenty of time. I do, however, want to comment on some of the public comments that I heard this evening. I do believe in density, and I do think that on Madison Avenue, on North Avenue, we should have higher buildings than we have now and that what our zoning allows for us. We have not changed our zoning in 30 years. Yes, we have a planned development commission that goes through it. And, but if we're going to every time say that 40 feet or 50 feet is what we're doing, then that should be our code. Again, maybe a little bit more sophisticated for each different neighborhood or pocket of area, but that should be a part of it. I think that we are at a detriment compared to other towns and villages when we are not fully showing to developers what the potential is. We look at Lakes and Lathrop. I know Kathy has number of times have said when they were initially pulling that out, there was one developer, Marty Paris. There wasn't anybody else out there. And it could have been because our zoning didn't reflect what we actually may have been interested in there. I take issue with the idea that studio apartments or 1,000 square foot condominiums or spaces for residential are not a good fit for our community. We do have students here. We have quite a huge population of students here. We have Concordia and Dominican University. We do have people who are here because it's their first job and they're taking Harlem or Madison or North Avenue to that job in this area or to downtown because the transit is very good. It could be better, but it's very good. So to say that we should show ourselves as a stable family community, I take real issue with that. I live in a 100-square-foot townhome. That's only 100 feet more than what the maximum is here. Is somebody saying that I shouldn't live here? When we talk about examples of revenue, we just built the Sheridan a couple of years ago, and that brings in at least $500,000.
$800,000
a year to the school system. We need more places like that here. We need more places like that here to provide in.
No, it's tax at residential. Yeah. Sorry.
Whether it's commercial or residential, we need more tax revenue.
Yeah, you're right. And no worries. It's residential.
But we need more of that here in order to bring our school systems to the caliber that we all expect. I also take issue with the idea that it's going to somehow hurt. You can't say that we're going to bring in too many kids and that studio apartments are where kids often aren't a part of that component in the residents who make up that studio are going to, they cross each other out. So I'm a little bit confused by some of the comments here. I understand what you're talking about in relation to the zoning. I think we could have been a little bit more sophisticated and done more and better work. I agree that we should not have John Housiel do this again for us. It mimics our affordable housing and what happened there, where we got a exact direct template from Will Metz from 20 years ago that did not look like River Forest at all and was asked to approve that. And it wasn't good. And we should have taken more time and taken a step and a beat and listened to what the interests were of the community. Those are my comments.
Okay. All right. Just a couple of, again, the plan development process.
Lisa.
Excuse me. Go ahead.
No, I'll be short because I really don't have too much else to add other than to reiterate that I think the process worked and that the Zoning Board of Appeals, they listened, they learned, and they made a recommendation. And there's no reason for us to go against that. That's why we put them in place to do what they are supposed to do. That's why you have our volunteers that work very, very hard. We can move forward with economic development using the current zoning. We've done it for a number of years and we'll continue to do that. And the Sheraton, to your point, is a very good example of it. But I will tell you, the people next to the Sheraton don't like the Sheraton. So we have to get over this, not in my backyard, because then we'll get nothing built anywhere. Thank you.
So can I just, Erica, your comparison, is a good comparison when you look at us versus other communities. And I happen to have lived in one of those communities. The biggest difference between us and them is the railroad crossing and the grades. So if you go to Elmhurst and you look at Elmhurst, all the multifamily development and all the development happens along the railroad grades. And so they have nice.
The Highland Park has that.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying that's one of the detriments that we have is we don't have a grade crossing here. We're elevated. And so we don't have that area for additional places to expand our commercial development, our multifamily development, and, most importantly, our retail development. So, but I agree with your comments.
Okay. All right. Any other further comments from the trustees? Okay. Let's take a vote.
Are we going to further discuss next?
Well, I mean, that's not on the agenda. Then, I would recommend that what we do is we take that under advisement and because we can't just throw somebody out and, not do an RFP and all these other things. It's a process. or public entity. We got to do it right. So we heard you. I think that's something we'll bring back to the board table for more discussion, but I don't think we should make a decision.
Yeah, we also
wholesale here.
We also have one other legal limitation, just to remind everyone, this is a special meeting. And so unlike a regular meeting where you can discuss under new business anything as long as you're not taking final action, we can't do that at this meeting. So,
well, and we wouldn't do it anyway because it wouldn't be appropriate because we need to do it
I
right.
just wanted to point that.
Yep, thanks. Appreciate it.
Totally understand that. And I just wanted to understand how that would proceed.
Well, I think we'll bring it back to the board and have a discussion amongst ourselves about what we want to do. If that's the majority of the board wants to, go out to RFP, that's what we'll do. So, okay.
All right.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Okay, very good. All right, thank you. And now we're going to go into executive session. So I'd like a motion to move into executive session, and then if I can get a motion to move into executive session.
Motion to enter into executive session pursuant to 5 LCS 120/2C6 to discuss the setting of a price for sale or lease of property owned by the public body, and the village board will adjourn after executive session and will not return to open session.
All right.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Yes.